and it's been a routine I've become quite fond of. It's now been just under a month, but we brought this guy back on a regular basis, and I couldn't be more thrilled. Welcome back to the Big Show. It's hour number three, live from the iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Will Nault and Peter Klein along with you. Logan Gordon is our producer today, and joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, he is the Flames color analyst. He is Peter Labardius. Lou, happy Thursday, pal. How are you?
You know what? Let's just be happy. You know, why not?
All right.
Like that's good. I'm talking to one of my favorite people. I know that the lovely Mr. Klein is there as well. I already chatted with Logan. You know, it's good. He's good. He's number one. Never mind. He's the best.
That's right. Lou, I thought this would be a fun place to start today because we just talked about it in the previous segment. 2:45 every Thursday, or every day, sorry, we do Today in Flames History. And today, as we're scanning back, we see on this day 15 years ago, the Calgary Flames played Sidney Crosby for the first time. And fittingly enough, he scored in that game against the Flames, his 13th of his rookie season in early December, and he's got 13 goals in 16 career games against the Flames. He's done well against a lot of NHL clubs, but I always love to get these stories, and you're a guy that tells them better than anybody, but I'd love to go back and go back in the time machine a little bit. When was your first on-ice viewing for Peter Labardius of the kid from Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia?
On TV or in person?
In person.
In person would have been in Rimouski, Quebec, in his 16-year-old season against Baie-Comeau on a very chilly night in Rimouski, one of my all-time favorite places to be involved in junior hockey just because of the incredible passion, and you'd go into there and, you know, 2 hours before the game, there'd be people milling around kind of in the mode area and all excited. So, yeah, I remember that part vividly. I've told the story well a couple of times about later that year, like having my first one-on-one sit-down with him in Gatineau, and just will never forget that one in terms of leaving that room and all that struck me. And remember looking at my cameraman going, this guy doesn't want to be good. This guy wants to be the best. And I was just so blown away by his maturity, his composure. You could just, you know, you could already understand at that wee age, you know, why he was special. And then, you know, to expand on it a little bit, well, I had an opportunity to cover, you know, the World Junior in 2004 in Helsinki, Finland, when he played as a 16-year-old. And so, you know, I was really, really lucky because, you know, as far as the young days are concerned, you know, that's the first time I saw him. I was able to cover two World Juniors that he played in, and also got to call a Memorial Cup that he played in 05, you know, before he turned pro and got to the point and the game that you're referring to. So I had a lot of up close and personal, and I just, listen, the one thing I always try to share about Sidney is he's never forgotten where he came from. He cares. He's never been in trouble. He stands for everything that I believe, you know, elite level athletes should be about. And so I think he's maybe a better person, even though I don't know him real, real well, than he is a hockey player. And I think we're lucky to have him in the sport that we, most of us, love so much. And thank goodness that, you know, I'm pretty happy he's got the passport that he's got too.
It's just too bad that 2005 Memorial Cup wasn't any good, eh? It's just too bad.
Well, it was okay. That team from London wasn't bad.
Oh, 58-9-2
with Corey Perry and company.
Just a little skill there.
Dave Boland, and yeah, they were okay.
And crazy to think, too, that Crosby has not reached 1,000 games yet. And that goes to speak, obviously, about his lengthy injury history. But
yes.
16 games away, he'll hit that whenever the NHL does resume here. But I think that's the one thing, too. You mentioned how we're lucky to have him and lucky to kind of live in this era where we get to watch him as much as we do. Lucky that he was able to get healthy and get his way back, too, Lou.
Well, you know, one of the great things about his story, and I'll never forget it either, that you know, the Flames were in Pittsburgh several years ago. Remember when, you know, he was going through a really hard time and, you know, people were starting to wonder if some of his best days, you know, had come and gone. And, you know, the injuries had a lot to do with it. And, you know, I remember we had a 3 or 4 minute chat and he said, it's been really, really difficult. And, you know, it's been a struggle, but, you know, he said, I love it and I'm going to keep working at it and, you know, get it to a better place. And, you know, so that's the part about Sidney. It's funny. Well, last night, couldn't sleep, was up in the wee hours of the night watching the semifinal from the World Cup in 2016, where he, Bergeron, and Marchand made up a pretty good line. In fact, you know, internationally, in terms of being a dominant player, 2016 might be, you know, arguably one of his best ever tournaments in terms of, you know, truly leading the way. But it's always been about his work and his commitment to be better. He never has cheated the work. And every time he's hit a crossroad, he's just dug in. Like in some ways, he's the greatest third or fourth liner in history. And I'm not selling him properly, but I think you know where I'm trying to get to. Like, is he incredibly skilled? He is. But his will, determination, and work, and wanting to win, second to none.
Klein, where are you at on Crosby?
Big fan. I think he's pretty good. No, he's just good. Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, a couple tweaks, he might really get there. How he sees the ice and how he makes the players around him better. It's never just, oh, Malkin Crosby then someone else on his line. They tend to spread the wealth out. I think that is one of the real things that you can say about Crosby is that he makes his teammates better. And Lou, I know I'm preaching to the choir on this one. We got to get another best-on-best tournament soon where we get McDavid and Crosby on the same crew. Because I don't know if they would put those two on the same line, but they should. And I think the puck will just
you're kind of breaking up. I don't know if it's my end or your end.
No, it's Klein's end. For some whatever reason, I don't know what it is. I think it's whenever music's playing and – for this conversation, I think it's whenever the phone is potted up. For some reason, it drowns Klein out. But I think you know where he was going.
No, I knew exactly where he was going. Yeah, I felt like we've lost a few opportunities already. I'm the easiest sell in the world when it comes to best on best in international sports competition. I can't get enough of it. So, yes, I would love nothing more than, you know, that we get back on track in our world and we have some normalcy or as close and find a new one that works. And that, you know, in February of 2022, we're going to watch what I think potentially could be the most gifted, talented, most exciting Olympic hockey tournament of all time.
Lou, just last one on Crosby and international play. You mentioned 2016, perhaps when he was playing his best or most dominant hockey internationally. If you were to ask Sid, I would guess 2010 is the biggest moment, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I mean, how do you...
Maybe of his career.
How do you draw it up any better than that? I mean, you can't. And, you know, being incredibly lucky to not just be in the building when it happened, but, you know, to see the entire tournament, all but three games up front and personal, and more importantly, to be in the city. And, you know, I think the 2010 Winter Olympics, you know, you talk about the pandemic and sports and what sports can do. you guys don't think that didn't galvanize and bring our whole country together? I don't think there's any question. In fact, that, you know, like, it might be one of, you know, obviously, you know, you guys aren't of the same age and you weren't born, but, you know, it's hard to explain to people what 72 was like and what that did. But those winter games in 2010 was just, it was unbelievable. You know, and, you know, to the credit of the TV types, it was also, if you remember, the first time because of, you know, the alignment of all the different networks, we got to watch all of it, like, live. And with the Olympics, that, like, that, you know, now it's different because we have online capacity, right? But, you know, in the past, you're always, we're kind of, you know, there's lots of sports that, needless to say, I think we all like more than others. Well, 2010, you know, was in our country, and we had it all, and you could have it all. No matter what sport you liked, didn't matter if it was biathlon or hockey or curling or figure skating, like, you could find it on a channel in its entirety live.
Yep, and I remember 2010 was, you're right, it was massive, and not just men's hockey, but obviously Canada led the gold count, and it was phenomenal, and it's one that I think a lot of people will remember for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. He's Peter Labardius, joins us every Thursday at this time. And before we get to some more international play with the U-20 group and what's going on with them, what do you make of what happened this week or what didn't happen, I guess, in the NHL? We saw Gary Bettman talking to the Sports Business Journal and says we're not interested in renegotiating, and, you know, things have changed since the summer. I've said this a lot the last couple of weeks on the air, Lou. I think us as hockey fans and members of the media, we're numb to this now. We're so used to it in terms of labor dispute, and that's unfortunate, but it's not an unfamiliar spot to be in as hockey fans. And unfortunately, as a result, you just have this automatic feeling of doubt. But I do think the two sides will come together. We will see hockey at some point, but it's just unfortunate that it looks like the can's been kicked down the road here a little bit, and we're probably more trending towards the end of January as opposed to the beginning.
Well, I understand how we arrived here, and frankly, you know, for all of us in the conversation, we saw it, you know, not, you know, the hockey folks have still handled it, I think, to this point, far better than what we saw from baseball. But, you know, I had a pretty good inkling that, you know, we were going to get to this kind of position. And I honestly, I can see both sides. I can understand, you know, why the players to a certain degree have their feet in the ground and they feel like, listen, you just made this deal a few months ago. Like, what are you doing? How can you ask us for more? But, you know, okay, you can say that in one breath, but you know, these are times that are unprecedented. And you know this well because we have a lot of conversations about it. You know, in our world, it's hard to get to middle ground. It can be really hard to get to middle ground. But these two sides need one another. They really do. And, you know, I think they're going to find a way. I think we're going to still wait a while. I really do. This is kind of the first week that I've even had a conversation with a couple of people about, is there any chance, like, they're going to find a way not to do this in any way, shape, or form? So, you know, it's caused me a little, you know, a little more angst this week than probably at any other point. But, you know, they need one another. I don't think they can afford not to play. But I understand this, whether it's, you know, there's certain owners that are in way different shape than others. So that influences things. You know, if you're one of the high earners guys, you know, you might be able to put your feet in the ground for a little longer and think about those kind of things. But, you know, here's just an example that I thought of the other day. So Cody Curran, you know, who was signed with Anaheim, is 30 years old. You know, played at the UFC, you know, played in the Alberta Junior League, spent a ton of time in Europe. You know, a very similar story to Derek Ryan. How do you think he's feeling right now?
Not good.
There's a lot of guys there, whether you're late in your career, you know, whether it's a first opportunity, you know, whether it's your time. listen, as life shows us in the most difficult of ways, whether we want it to or not, we don't get to be here forever. And we don't get to do what we love to do for as long as we want sometimes either. So let's get back to the basics and let's really think about the middle ground, understanding that it's not easy. I don't have all the answers. You guys don't have all the answers. I understand where both sides are coming from. But let's think about a pandemic that has absolutely changed our world and understand that being in privileged positions in our world, can we not find a way to be more selfless for a few months?
Yeah, very well said. And it's not a time where people are looking to hear billionaires negotiating with millionaires about financial issues. This is a time where we could use the entertainment, and hopefully, like you said, like this is still going miles better than where Major League Baseball was at.
Oh yeah, they'll find a way.
Yeah. I'm not worried about the start of the season or about them getting a season in, but January 20th is feeling much more realistic than January 1st at this point.
Yeah. No question. You know, in fact, would I be shocked? And let's face it, we don't have to look too far back in history to find a very similar start time in a 48-game regular season.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yep. There you go. There you go. Coming up next on The Price is Right. And I'm no Drew Carey, I can tell you that.
Shifting
Pete,
gears.
Tell him what he's won.
Yeah. I'm the guy who gets that, like, you know, I try showcase door number two and there's, you know, a broken Lego set sitting in a corner somewhere.
Expired Play-Doh.
Yeah, well, the guy beside me or the woman beside me has got three new cars and two new trips.
Yeah. I don't even get to the showcase. I send the yodeler guy off the cliff.
That's funny. That's good. I like that.
Shifting gears to the World Junior Hockey Championships. Obviously, the Canadian situation not ideal right now in Red Deer, but I want to focus on a couple Flames prospects that might be involved. Jan Kuznetsov on the Russian preliminary roster. We'll start with him. He's someone who is now suddenly on Flames radars quite a bit after going in the second round in the draft a couple of months ago. What kind of an impact and what kind of a role do you think Kuznetsov could have on this Russian squad this year?
Well, Peter, because he was already at, you know, Connecticut, where he was the youngest player in NCAA Division I hockey last year, he wasn't with, you know, what will make up the majority of the Russian team when they won the Karjala Cup a few weeks ago in Helsinki, Finland. My guess is when I watch the three games in that tournament and the fact that I've watched him in a couple games that he's played in this season at Connecticut, I think he'll be in the mix. I'm certainly wouldn't be willing to say that for sure he's going to be a part of their 25, but you know what I like about him, you know, going back to watching him at the World Junior A Challenge last year, is he's got excellent size. You know, I like his defensive awareness, good stick. Think he has a good feel for the game defensively for the most part. I like his frame. You know, there's lots of room there to add and to grow and to get better. So, you know, for the Flames, you know, that we're looking, as you guys know, to, you know, adding some more depth on the back end. You know, I like what I see. And guess what? If he doesn't make his way to, you know, Edmonton this time around, well, tell mom and dad to get their tickets ready for next year, because at 19, it'll be a slam dunk for the World Junior. What would that be, the 2022 edition? My goodness, where does time go? Anyway.
And the other Flames prospect who is involved in these types of discussions, Dustin Wolf with the Americans. Now, Spencer Knight's a first-round pick. He's probably going to get the majority of that. But what kind of a role do you see Dustin Wolf playing? And just, again, another honor for Dustin Wolf in a last couple, 18 months or so, where the honors seem to be piling up for him.
Well, you know, here's the Dustin Wolf situation. There might be some days where he wished that he wasn't, you know, part of Team USA, because you want to talk about an unbelievable tandem of goalies. Like, you know, the Swedes are going to have a great pair between the pipes. But, you know, in Knight and Wolf, you know, the Americans are in incredible shape. So, you know, talk about incredibly competitive. They're both outstanding. They're both different, Peter. You know, the one thing about Spencer Knight is he plays the puck at an elite level. But the other thing about Spencer that, you know, I wouldn't say I question him, but he has yet to, like, get the United States over. You go back to that incredible group a couple years ago, you know, that will make up a huge mass of this World Junior team. Well, they suffered one of the greatest upsets in the semifinal probably that I've ever seen at the World Under 18. You know, he wasn't able to get them over, you know, that combination, and they were younger, weren't able to get them over last time. So, you know, at a certain point in time, my guess is Dustin Wolf probably gets a shot. And here's the other part about the United States and their plight. Like last year, the United States is in the group of death. They are with Russia, Sweden, and the Czech Republic. So Canada went through that with the, you know, so substitute, you know, in there this time, you know, the Swedes instead of Canada. And now, you know, so point being is there will be opportunities if Mr. Knight, you know, gives Dustin a chance to crack in. He better be careful if he's the guy that gets to start with the ball, because the Flames prospect, this just in, he's pretty good.
And with that group, like, a lot of times in this tournament, the backup gets the Germany or Switzerland or Latvia or one of those games.
Austria.
Yeah. There isn't one of those in that one. That's a rough group that they are in. Far as the Canadians are concerned, obviously the 2-week shutdown is not ideal. From a hockey standpoint, there is nothing normal about this year, as we all know. But from a hockey standpoint, how much of a hindrance could taking a couple weeks off be?
Listen, you know, those kids, and I feel for everybody involved. You know, the program trying everything they can. You know, you don't want to find yourself in that kind of quarantine situation that those kids are in. But the people at Hockey Canada, and unbelievable coaching staff, GM and Al Miller. You know, it's obviously, Peter, it's a hindrance, and it's a hindrance because the reason you went in early, A, was to potentially give yourself a buffer in terms of health, but it was also about the fact that unless you were in the Quebec League, you haven't played, you know, so that's why they went early. Is, you know, a lot of their guys, you know, if you're in the Western League or the Ontario League, like, you haven't played. So, you know, and all the other, and I know I'm watching them on a pretty regular basis whenever I can, you know, all the other European teams and players, they're playing. And the Americans, you know, the college situation is up and running. So, no, it's not ideal. But I would say two things, Peter, on it is this. As hard as this situation has been for those kids, believe it or not, this, I think, if we can get to the tournament, and who knows, maybe it doesn't even get played, there's a lot of things that could happen, you know, in the province of Alberta right now, and things are not good health-wise, as you guys know, in you know, our home and native land there. But if they can get in there and they can get all the kids from all the countries in a bubble and control it like the NHL was able to do in the summer, it will be the closest Canadian unit, I guarantee you, of all time. And the other thing that's going to help them, this is a really, as I've talked about already the last couple of weeks, this is a very, very talented group. So they're going to be able to get up to speed, I think, easier and might require a little less time. And here's the other thing, Peter, because they're in the pool that they're in, let's not kid anybody, they shouldn't really be pushed in the round robin by anybody but the Finns. So for them, in many ways, it's about getting ready for January the 2nd, and that's quarterfinal day. So you've got more time there.
Yeah, the only thing I would say to that, Lou, is I just feel for those kids because you're losing some evaluation time there. Yeah, that's to be cut from a hotel room, that's tough.
Yeah, you know what? None of it is easy. Nobody has wanted it to go that way, and you're right. I mean, they're probably going to have no choice. I mean, they couldn't let them go. Like, they can't go anywhere. Yeah. And you're right, some kids who maybe we're on the bubble are going to miss out. And in certain cases, this is also their last crack. But, you know, listen, they're doing the best that they can. And here's what I truly believe in, gents. If we're always in life looking for everything to be absolutely fair for everybody, we're going to be waiting a long time.
You got that right. Well, Lou, we know you got to run. Thank you for this, as always, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll talk to you next week, and go Vikings.
Oh, do they still play in a sport?
Hey, we're in a playoff race. Let's go.
Oh, they're in a playoff race. All right. That's pretty good. Okay, on that happy note, thanks for having me. Have a great couple of days, and can't wait to see you guys hopefully sooner rather than later. Okay, guys, be well.